Well, hey, if you're a guest here today, maybe it's first time you've been here, or maybe it's been a long time, we just want to say welcome. We want this to feel like home. And here's the thing about Greenville First. Our mission is this, to journey with you from where you are to where Jesus wants you to be. And here's what that mission means, that all of us are on a journey of faith and discovery, regardless of where we find ourselves, and none of us are at the exact same spot. So whether you haven't been in church ever, or it's been a really long time, or you've been in church and you don't ever remember a day being away from church or walking away from Jesus, this is still a place for you. And so we just want to make much of Jesus and not much of us. My prayer for today has been in every mistake and in every victory that people still see Jesus and not us. So you may have pulled on this property and saw some alpacas and llamas or llamas or whatever and donkeys. Listen, if you don't see Jesus today, then we've missed it. Because that's why we gather. Because the tomb is empty and we get to celebrate. Easter's a celebration. Why? For me personally, it's a celebration that I know that my sin has been forgiven. And the sins that I will commit, there's ability for forgiveness to take place. For me, Easter's a celebration because I know that Jesus chose not to let the cross keep him in the tomb. So I just want you to track with me just for a moment, because our Savior, Jesus Christ, had all the power to defeat death as a dead man, which means that he had all the power to avoid the cross had he chosen to. But he loved you and I enough to not stay dead and to not miss the cross, because he knew that that sacrifice would pave the way for you and I to walk in relationship in eternity with him. He loved us enough that he didn't want to stay dead, because he wanted to love you and I in a real way for the rest of our life and into eternity. So Easter's not a day to be gloomy. Easter's not a day to be sad. Easter's, if you're not smiling already, something's wrong with you. And if the worship or the message can't get you to smile, that's why we got some farm animals outside. Just go pet that little baby sheep and see if it doesn't make you smile a little bit. I don't touch animals, so like that, so you won't find me. I'm just out there waving. I just get enjoyment seeing everybody else. I'm like, I don't know what they're carrying. No, I'm just kidding. I should. Brittany told me to be nice about the farm animals, so I'm sorry. We're like polar opposites on that. My wife, she's a jewel and a gem, and she's like, she's trying to convince the boys to tell dad for us to like buy baby chicks for Easter, and I'm like, no. More animals in our house? We've got two boys. That's enough. So it's great. Well, my name's Josh. My wife Brittany and I are lead pastors here. And thanks for just being with us on Easter Sunday. Today's message is titled, This is Jubilee. Because we believe that the Easter is a celebration. It is Jubilee for us. And I did this last service because I just feel like sometimes people just come to church and it's like, I can't smile, I can't laugh, I can't have fun, I can't let my guard down. Like we just think more of you if you just come in tough-faced, you know? So if the coffee didn't get you, the animals didn't get you, maybe this will. I feel like the word Jubilee just makes me smile. So can we say this together? Maybe it'll work on you. Can we say, I never do this because I hate being the one in the crowd that has to repeat stuff, but we're going to do it because it's Easter Sunday and so on the count of three, can we just say Jubilee together? One, two, three, Jubilee. There's something, maybe it's about those E's that you're just like, God intended for that word to create a smile on your face. Jubilee. I mean, it's even if you don't like smiling, Jubilee. It just puts it there. And I didn't even realize that until I was preaching last service. And I'm like, you know, when I say that, it just makes me smile. It may be a fake smile, but that's great. Guys, if you can learn to fake smile, your wife will be really happy with the Easter family photos today. So it's good. Let's just work on it. Just Jubilee on three. It's good. Got you, Michael, sitting in the front row. Nah, he's smiling because his Phillies have beat the Braves the past 2 years. Anyways, I'm going to get into this. Hey, we're going to talk about this as Jubilee. And I don't know if you're familiar with the year of Jubilee, but there's some attachment to Levitical law. And I did not want to be a downer this morning and, hey, turn in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus. That's a real way to wipe the smile off the face of everybody who's here. So I'm going to give you a little bit of, and if you haven't read your Bible, you don't understand that. But if you've read your Bible, you just realize Leviticus is really hard to get through. But here's what Leviticus actually tells us about Jubilee. It's a year that is set aside every 50 years. Some would argue that it's every 49 years because it's tied to the Sabbath, and it's a Sabbath year. And so here's what happens, and this is the way God intended. The year of Jubilee serves as a reset for the people of Israel, for the Jewish people. It serves as a reset to the economy. It serves as a reset to ownership and management. There's a lot that takes place in this year of Jubilee. And there is a lot of joy that comes with it because of what takes place. Now, I have a few things up here. I'm just going to go ahead and grab these. Because this is what Jubilee brings. The first... See if I can do this, because if it falls, that's going to be, that's good. The first, Jubilee brings mercy. Here's what Jubilee does in the year of Jubilee, that everyone who has debt, it is erased. Some of you in the room, you're like, I wish that this was still in practice. Looking at those student loans, that car payment, that house payment, whatever debt you may have incurred in your life, how great is this that there's just a wipe clean? We're going to reset it. Now, I don't know about you, but if people owe me money, year 48 or 49, whichever, I'm going to be hustling to try and collect on those debts. Because I know Jubilee's coming and everybody's going to have a freebie, but this is what Jubilee does. Jubilee says, hey, you have debt? I don't want you to be leveraged by debt anymore. We're going to wipe the slate clean. Hey, you had to borrow money so you could put food on the table. I don't want this to affect the generations to come. You're going to have mercy and you're going to be relieved of your debt. Jubilee also did something to slavery. Jubilee brought freedom. Everyone who was a slave was freed in the year of Jubilee. Why? Because God did not want generational slavery to continue. And so in this moment, this year of Jubilee, and think about this just for a second. Everybody who's under 50, you may not have experienced a year of Jubilee in your lifetime. Your reality may be a reality that's been in chains and enslaved the entire time that you've been on this earth. But here's the great thing about Jubilee. The year of Jubilee brings hope that my current state of reality doesn't have to stay the same. What has been in my family, the bondage that we've experienced, the slavery we've experienced, does not have to be. Hope is coming. There is a chance for freedom. Now, Jubilee also did something else. So Jubilee brings mercy. Jubilee brings freedom. Jubilee also brings restoration. Now, we have a little family text thread. It's my parents, it's my in-laws, and it's Brittany and I. And this text thread was really funny last night because I'm like, you know, I just want a few props to hold up here because I want you to see mercy, freedom, and restoration. Because this is what the year of Jubilee brings. It brought restoration to the fields. And so I just asked for a certain garden instrument in our family text message. I said, hey, does anybody have a fill in the blank if you know what this is? Now, my in-laws did not, they didn't weigh in early enough, but my dad and mom sure did. And my dad said, I have fill in the blank. I have a fill in the blank. I'm sorry. And my mom's response was really funny. And I just had to clarify. I said, as long as it's a garden instrument, we're good. But here's what would happen in the year Jubilee. The fields that had been, they had been harvested, they had been sown, they had been toiled over and over and over and over and over, year after year after year. The year of Jubilee brings rest to the fields. Now, I don't know what you know about gardening. I don't know much, okay? I really, if this is your home church, you realize I have talked about my hate for the yard work, okay, and the outdoors. But if you like this stuff and that's your cup of tea, wonderful. Awesome. What I do know about gardening and what I do understand about planting and harvesting is that when you plant certain species or certain crops, it is depleting the soil of all the nutrients so that it can grow, it can develop, it can produce fruit. And so if you're a good farmer and you're a good harvester, you're going to begin to shift your fields so that they can replenish the necessary nutrients so that you can continue to see fruit. But year after year, if your fields are harvested and they're sown and your fields begin to be burdened, they begin to be depleted, and so the year of Jubilee brings restoration for the fields. They were not allowed to sow crops. They were actually to live off of last year's harvest, and they weren't to harvest anything. They weren't to sow. The fields were to be restored. So Jubilee brings mercy. Jubilee brings freedom. And Jubilee brings restoration. Now I'm going to move this stuff because it's going to fall and it's going to make a big loud sound and I'm just going to, it's going to be awkward. But here's the great thing. That Jubilee is not just a year that we find in Levitical law. See, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61 actually begins to prophesy of an ultimate Jubilee. An ultimate Jubilee that's not just a year, but is the fulfillment of the Messiah who is going to come to fulfill this concept of Jubilee. So we find, it's very interesting to me that we find Jesus is actually quoting this prophecy in Luke chapter 4. Because everyone there, if you were of Jewish descent, if you were Jewish, you would have understood the year of Jubilee. This wouldn't have been as foreign as it is to probably most of us, that we may have heard this term year Jubilee if we've been in church long enough. Normally it's a time where everybody's like, hey, we're going to do Jubilee offerings and we're going to do this Jubilee festival or whatever. But there was an ultimate Jubilee that could only be fulfilled by the Messiah. And so Jesus, he actually, in Luke 4, verses 18 through 21, he quotes Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is the year of Jubilee. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And Jesus hands back the scroll. He drops the mic. Because in this moment, I can't even imagine Jesus walking into the synagogue. We're just carrying about our business. He steps into the reader's like circle, begins to open up the scroll, and begins to read and says, I'm not just reading, which would have been a commonplace in the synagogue for reading to take place, but he didn't just read. He made a statement that I am the Jubilee. See, Jesus is our Jubilee. Jesus is the very fulfillment of Jubilee. Here and now, the celebration that comes. Because let me tell you, if I told you today that, hey, you can be debt-free, you don't have to be a slave anymore, you don't have to work in the fields anymore, we would all be shouting and running around this place like crazy people. And that's exactly what Jesus just did. But see, here's the problem. So many times we look at the physical side of things versus the spiritual side of things. This is where everybody got Jesus coming to earth so wrong and so twisted because they were expecting him to be a political leader, a government official. He's going to ride in as a king and just conquer everything. And so this really threw them for a loop in this moment. But it's a truth that we can reside in today, that Jesus is our Jubilee. You know why? Because Jesus brings mercy. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Here's the thing I love about Jesus is Jesus is not just merciful in a moment. He is the very embodiment of mercy. Jesus is mercy. He's more than just bringing mercy. He is mercy. The mercy of Jesus is found in the very fact that we would not have access to spend eternity with him until he paid that price on the cross on that Good Friday so that we could have access to eternity with him. Access into his presence. Because mercy is when we deserve something, but we get something else in return. We deserve the punishment that Jesus got. We deserve to be separated from God because all of us were born into sin. It doesn't matter how good you think you are, how perfect you think you may be. Every one of us in this room were born into sin, which means every one of us was born into this place deserving of punishment, not of a great reward of eternity with God. But I think this is one of the things that we really miss sometimes and misunderstand is this concept of mercy. Mercy is this cry for us of relief oftentimes. That's where our mind goes. Why? Because when we were kids, you're arm wrestling or you're wrestling. I have a brother, and if you ever, you're like seeing who's stronger or who can bend and push you to your limits. And what's the code word to get out? Mercy. Now, as I was thinking about this, that would say that we really don't deserve to be released from that pain, but it is our cry, please show me mercy. And so we think about mercy as this cry of relief, and really it's when we don't deserve it, yet we still have an opportunity to experience it. We all need mercy. We all deserve something far different than we're able to have access to. But Jesus brings mercy our way. One of my dear friends, he's actually my small group leader, a few weeks ago had the worst week of his life. His and his family's. It's actually this, I guess, a week ago. And just track with me just for a second. Carlos, he lives in Nashville, and so The bad week started because he got in a car accident. And I don't know about you, but car accidents are just not fun. You got to deal with insurance, police reports. You're standing out there. You know, it's just a night. Whether it's your fault or not, they're just a pain. And his bad week started with a car accident. Well, then comes the flooding of his house in Nashville. Basement flooded. This is within 24 hours. Fast forward to another 24 hours, and Carlos is on a Zoom call, and his wife runs in frantic. Now, they like farm animals, too. They have some chickens out back and like a nice little garden and all this. And so his wife comes in panic because their favorite chicken, I don't even know how you have a favorite chicken, but they do. Favorite chicken has been killed by an owl. And they know this because she goes outside and the owl is caught in like the netting and like talons still in the chicken. Now, they're way more graceful than I am. They like undo the owl and like take it to a safe wildlife habitat or something like that. And I don't know. I just probably would have had other plans for the owl. Chicken, dead. Then their beautiful dog. Their dog gets into their compost pile. And so, I mean, I'm telling you, this is all in a matter of like, we're like day three by this point. And so the dog gets in the compost pile and gets sick. It's like, looks like the dog's, you know, just on its deathbed. So they take the dog to the vet, x-rays, like trying to pump the stomach. I mean, all this craziness. So the dog comes home only for them to have to go back 24 hours later and put the dog down. This is a rough week. So Carlos is preaching in Colorado today, and so they said, hey, let's just go out as a family to Colorado a few days early, and we'll just kind of spend some time refreshing. Well, they fly from Nashville through Atlanta. And if you've ever been to Atlanta, there, the Hartsfield Airport, there are these ginormous escalators. And so there's this guy at the top of the escalator who loses his grip on his suitcase, and the suitcase comes flying down the escalator like a rocket, knocks his wife Heather off the escalator. She lands on her wrist, fractures her wrist. Now they're spending the night with her going into the hospital. It's a rough week. But here's the coolest part of the whole story. There are people that just begin to surround them and their family and say, this is an awful week. Can we buy you a cup of coffee? So they start to like Venmo Carlos like coffee. They Venmo like one middle schooler posted on there, hey, here's $4 for your son to go buy a milkshake. I mean, people are just rallying around this family. They didn't do anything to deserve the trouble or the good that they were receiving. And so this thing just kind of trickled and began to kind of ripple through the social media universe or whatever you would call it. And so there's all these people begin to say, hey, Carlos and his family, they're on the flight from Atlanta now to Colorado. We've got this amount of time. Let's send them as much money as we can just to bless their family. So Carlos, when he gets off the plane in Colorado, their family had medical debt because they were uninsured a couple of years ago and their daughter had to go into Vanderbilt Hospital for a stay. They had a little bit of student debt left. They had debt on their car. They had all the expenses that were being incurred for their basement. And from a flight from Atlanta to Colorado, it was all wiped clean. Yeah, we can. Now, here's the thing. Some of you in the room are like, man, I'd have that kind of week to wipe away all my debt. But I tell you all that because that can make our heart feel joyful. I mean, one like social media influencer, their followers sent over $15,000 to Carlos and his family. Just like they sent the transaction. I'm like, I'm blown away. I still don't know the total number. We have our small group meeting this week on Zoom. So I'm gonna find out because I'm just nosy like that. But here's the thing. All of that debt wiped away, and he didn't deserve any of it, but God used it as a blessing. It still pales in comparison to the mercy we receive from the sacrifice of Jesus. We can be so moved by stories of just good deeds of people on this earth, but it does not come close to the mercy that Jesus extended through the sacrifice on the cross for you and me. We miss it. We miss God's mercy that is so prevalent all through Scripture. There's so many times in Scripture in the Gospels that we hear, Jesus, have mercy on me. There's one when he's on his way to Jerusalem, there's a blind man who says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus walks up to him and says, what do you want me to do for you? And it's his faith that made him whole because he trusted that Jesus could extend mercy, and he did in that moment. So many times we miss out on the mercy of Jesus, but it's part of Jesus becoming our jubilee. Second thing Jesus does is he brings freedom to us. He brings freedom to us. Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This is the will of God for you, freedom. That's God's plan for you, is freedom. God doesn't want you walking around with this burden and this yoke of slavery any longer. He doesn't want you enchained anymore. But so many times, that's our reality. We've been in chains so long that we don't know any different. We've been slaves for so long in our life that we don't realize that there's a better and another option for our life. All in the freedom found in Jesus. See, we're parents. We have two wonderful children, age 4 and age 6. And a friend of ours posted, I think it was a reshare this week, but it's like, I don't understand how my kids can pick up, 300 eggs in a matter of 2 minutes, and they can't pick up 5 toys in a year, you know? All of your parents are like, yes. Here's the thing. Just start hiding candy and money in their toys and maybe they'll do it. But there's two ways to parent. If I want a room cleaned up, if I need their toys to be cleaned up, I can do one of two things. Option one is I look at my children and I say, and I've been guilty of this, okay? So don't, I'm going to try to be more like this one in just a second. But option one is to look at my children and say, hey, you need to clean this stuff up, and if you don't, there will be trouble. Some of y'all, you're like, that's my parenting style. We're taking away everything. But here's option two. Option two is for me to look at my boys and say, hey, let's clean this up. Let's see how fast we can clean this up. Here's the difference. They feel oppressed by the responsibility of just making sure they're doing right because there's punishment if they don't. Yet here, a father is kneeling down and saying, hey, let's come and do this together. You want to see the picture of freedom? It's not that God just gives us this list of rules, and if we don't follow them, there's just... That's the truth. If we don't follow God's plan for our life, it doesn't end well. But here's the great thing. Our Father is not just one who says, hey, I'm going to punish you if you don't do this. Our Father says, hey, I want so much freedom for your life that when Jesus leaves this earth, I'm sending my Spirit to be with you. So the Father's saying, let's do this life together. Because this one, I still feel like I'm in chains. And some of you are like, yeah, I probably need to do that with my kids. But this one says there's great joy in accomplishing what needs to happen right now. That's the joy of saying, Jesus, you're my Jubilee, and I can walk in freedom. I think about this passage of Scripture where there's this woman who has been caught in the very act of adultery. And what happens? The religious leaders, they bring her and throw her at the feet of Jesus and say, hey, this is what the law says. What do you say? And if you're familiar with the story, he begins to write in the sand and he looks up and he says, he who has no sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. Because Jesus knew what the Scripture said. And then he goes back and writes again. And while he's writing, It's kind of interesting, some of the details. The older people started to leave first. See, there's wisdom. Young people, don't neglect the wisdom of the old, okay? And old's a very relative term. I'm not trying to get onto you today. That age limit of old just keeps, you know, the older we get, the further away it gets. But here's what happens. Jesus looks up and says, where are your accusers? And they were gone. You know why? Because the freedom that we find in Jesus gives us the ability to not stay enchained by what was. But follow me, because he looks at the woman and he says, hey, go and sin no more. Because when we drop the chains, it doesn't mean that we turn around and pick them back up. We drop them. Because Jesus has the key to everything that has enchained us in our life or has currently held us in bondage today. Jesus has the keys to set us free. We just have to receive the freedom that he has for us. And lastly, Jesus brings restoration. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. See, I think there's often times in our life where we don't believe when Jesus says he'll forgive us that he really will. I think there are times in our life where we don't believe he fully can love us enough to forgive us and restore us from what we've lost because of our dumb decisions. And I say we because I've been in this spot. I've been in this spot to look at all the mistakes I've made in my life and say, there's no way that anyone could love me enough in this mess.
There's no one who could love me enough in my chains to bring freedom to me. There's no one, this concept of mercy, Pastor, you have no idea what I've done with my life. You have no idea how many mistakes I've made. No, I don't. You may even say, I don't deserve it. You're right. But that's the beauty of God's mercy and grace. We cannot even fathom how deep and how wide his love for us is. See, whether you believe it or not, the substance of God's love is mercy and grace. He is mercy and grace. He does mercy and grace. He gives mercy and grace. See, he bestows favor upon it. He doesn't just forgive. He brings restoration. And here's, I think, a lot of times the problem that many of us fall into. One, we limit. We don't fully believe that he can do what he said he can do. Because of us. And so we begin to minimize it. And then often we limit what restoration really looks like in our life. We want God just to restore us to where we were before. But here's the beautiful thing about the creator of the universe. Is his plan is to restore by creating new. It's not, I don't know if you've ever had a toy that's been broken, or maybe your car's been broken down, and you go and you get that engine rebuilt and repaired. It's still never going to be as good as it was before. But if I hand you the keys to a brand new car, no longer the issues that you were having before will you have now, because it's made new. See, restoration in Jesus is more than just some duct tape and some super glue. It's creation. The old is made new. There's nobody on this planet or anywhere in the universe that can do what Jesus can do in creating. And his intent for our life is to restore us. It's to make us new. That's God's plan, is to make new. So the question is, will you choose to let Jesus be your Jubilee? Because Jubilee brings mercy. It brings freedom. It brings restoration. And all of these things that are set in the calendar of Jewish history are all made available and far exceeding what was originally experienced with a life with Jesus. There's mercy. There's freedom. There's restoration. But see, I know that there are people here today. And you look at your life and you feel like you don't deserve mercy. And I told you, you're right. You don't. Because there's nothing you can do to deserve the access to a heavenly Father that loves you. You may be here and you look at your life and you're like, I've been held by bondage. Those chains are real comfortable. My wrists have even gotten smaller because I've been wearing these chains so long. But Jesus has the keys and he wants to bring freedom. He wants you to leave those chains today. He doesn't want you to walk in bondage anymore. There's others that you've been tilling the ground. Your life feels so depleted, so barren, because you've just not experienced the rest and the restoration and the newness that you can walk with Jesus. But today, all that can change. Every bit of it. Why? Because Scripture's clear that we can ask Jesus to become Lord of our life. The sacrifice that was made on Friday, the resurrection that happened on Sunday, a God that is full of all glory and majesty and honor, we just have to focus our eyes on him to receive the mercy, the freedom, the restoration. There's no list of 10 things that, hey, if you do all these, then you can. It's not this. God's love is deeper and wider than that. Now, Scripture says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a pathway to receive everything that Jesus has for us. But it's all about him. Today, we have an opportunity. There's no greater way than we can begin to give glory and honor to the Savior of the universe than to choose to live for him. choose for our life to look different, for us to walk in relationship with him, for us to stop holding on to the chains that have bound us and make a different decision for our life. So we're going to close with this. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed in the room, every eye to be closed. This is the most important moment of the day, because this is the chance for people to look and say, I don't want to live the way I've lived before. I've never been able to see hope beyond my current circumstance. I've never been able to see what a new life could mean for me today. I don't even understand what this idea of freedom could really look like. But the first step is to choose Jesus. For Jesus to be your jubilee, the greatest joy, the greatest celebration. So I'm going to ask a simple question. If you're here today and you just say, Pastor, I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to get things right. Maybe I've wandered from him. Maybe it's been a long time since I've walked in relationship with him. Maybe I've never walked in relationship with him. Today is your day to say yes to Jesus. So if you're here today and that's you, you just say, Pastor, I need to make that commitment. Nobody's looking but me. Slip your hand up. Thank you. Slip your hand up. If that's you today, say, I need Jesus. Just a moment more. I need to make things right. Can we repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sin. Help me to follow you. Help me to love you. Help me to love others.